wonderful how in the secular world and the news around, the things that happen, the things that are brought to happen in the sovereignty of God, in the even in the natural world, the things that God brings to pass of his creation this week, like all others, God has confirmed the word laid on my heart to bring this morning. But this morning we speak of true wisdom. True wisdom. There's a lot of talk about wisdom in this world. People boast of themselves and others. They might have a memory of another, or they speak of another who they hold in high regard, or they would allow others to speak of them to say that they are wise. But really, nobody is wise. Not truly. The only way anyone on this earth can be wise is if God gives them that wisdom. Not the sentimental way we talk of wisdom when we say, oh, God has given them wisdom and this is why they say this and this is why they do that. I mean true wisdom. There is only one wisdom, you see. The wisdom that God gives is that which seeks after the Saviour. This is the wisdom of God. And this week many have been lauding, and I say that word carefully. This week many have been lauding up the astronomer Patrick Moore. Lauding him up. This man who passed away the previous weekend. But this man presented the late night TV show, The Sky at Night. A man who knew very much. He knew very much about the night sky. His knowledge was extensive. NASA even used his knowledge, depended on his knowledge in developing their space program. Yet an amateur astronomer. For some 60 years he presented this program. His was the longest run of any TV presenter for a single show. But although he was dedicated, and I do not doubt any of this, he was dedicated, and I know from even hearing him, excited with the study of the stars. That could not be doubted. He was excited with his subject, with the study of the stars and the planets and everything else in the space above. In spite of all his enthusiasm for looking into the wonder of the heavens above, he praised not the Creator. Like all outside of Christ Jesus, he said, no God. No God. He waved his fist at God. Why is this? How can one that has experienced and witnessed and looked into such wonders, how can they not praise the Creator? Well, the same way none of us could praise the Creator. He was blind. He saw very well the sky above him, but yet he was blind. Blind to God. He had a kind of wisdom, but not the wisdom to seek after the Saviour God. The God who sustains all this that he looked into. And it is the same with the TV naturalists. They know who they are. I won't name them. They haven't passed away. Patrick Moore can't do anything to me. They know who they are, but they are fools. They are fools and idiots. And they're held in such high regard as demigods almost. Hanging on every word they say, the people watch their programs. Who just will not have God. The man down the street, the man in the pub, the man in the, on the shop floor, most people, the average people who don't look up at the sky, who don't really look at creation most of their life, and that was me, such was me for most of my life, to be honest, before coming to know the Saviour. Most people don't really look into creation that much, but those naturalists who are dedicated to the study of it, how can they say no God? They are the fool, you see, as God tells us. The fool have said in his heart, no God. They are not an atheist. They are the one who fights with their own conscience that God has placed on each one of us, that tells us the imprint of God on each one of us, that tells us God. And they fight with their conscience. That's why it says the fool has said in his heart. He hasn't said to his neighbour. He said to himself. He argues with himself. I almost feel sorry for such so-called scientists, because what a fight they have to constantly try and prove there is no God. I don't know about this man's religious beliefs, but I do know that the second man to step onto the moon, when looking from his space capsule, quoted the psalmist in saying, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" Buzz Aldrin, the second man on the moon of that momentous mission. Of course, the world pays more attention to Neil Armstrong's words. It's one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind. You tell me, who said, who quoted the most important words? This week, people have been witnessing, this has all been happening this week, apart from the moon landing, obviously. This week, people have been witnessing a great meteor shower in the skies above, shooting stars by the thousand. And I was just, even in the week, listening to people talk about it, experts talking about it, people who were witnessing, ringing in on late night radio, listening to their descriptions. But you know what was missing? No mention of a creator. No mention of God. Although, in fairness to one presenter, he came close. He said, well, it does make you wonder. It does make you think. Today I want to talk to you about some clever, truly clever men. Some clever stargazers who were wise also. Truly wise. Before us today in the Word of God in Matthew 2 are some guys quite different from your average scientists. Quite different. And let's not forget, they were top men of their field. They weren't amateurs. They were top scientists of their day. I want you to try and imagine that these are the type of people that you would see on your TV screens talking with expertise about a subject. These are the Stephen Dawkins Watkins and the Hawkins, the Attenboroughs, and all the rest. They are those of their day. They're held in high regard. But they were different from the average scientist, as I said before. We don't know. We don't need to know. Once again, let's get another myth out of the message of the incarnation. We don't know, and we don't need to know how many there were of them. Because the Word of God doesn't tell us. And so we don't need to know. Do you know that? We don't need to know. So we don't need to say either way. We don't need to invent things, traditions and legends, and give them names, as people have sought to do. They have no name. They're anonymous. Not to God, though. Not to God. But we do know this. They are called wise men. These mysterious visitors who came to present gifts, many gifts, but amongst those gifts were three important gifts. To present gifts to and worship the young child Jesus. These men were given a great privilege. A great privilege. Not just to know who this child is, but also to meet with him. And so I must ask you, do you merely know or believe who Jesus Christ is? For if that is you, you merely know who he is, you merely believe who he is, or even believe in him, that is not enough. You don't know him. You're no different from the man who says, "Know God." Or do you know this child? Has he been revealed to you? So firstly this morning we see of these wise men, they had to come. I want you to see that this morning. These wise men didn't just come on the off chance. They didn't just come even with an inquisitive spirit. You might have come to a church service this morning, might be listening to this message out of an inquisitive spirit, you think. But it could just be because you have to. You have to come. You're being drawn. These men had to come. They had to come. And second, they searched and they found. Because they had to come, they had to search, and they had to find. And thirdly, we see how they acknowledged him. How they acknowledged this young child. So firstly, these wise men, these scientists, these stargazers, these former idolaters, worshippers of the stars themselves, worshippers of the sun and the moon, these sorcerers, which their name means magi, these men only came searching because they were drawn by a sign. A sign like no other. And so why did they come? Before they came, you would think of such men, they couldn't have been further away than the worship of Almighty God. Why did they come? Why not the others? Why just them? Why not the others of their group of Magi? There were many Magi, of which they were. They were from a specific company of men called Magi. They are the magicians and the sorcerers spoken of in Daniel. When Nebuchadnezzar brought his sorcerers and his magicians to interpret dreams, these were the type of scientists. These were the men. This is what the word means. They were called Magi. They were magicians, sorcerers, worshipping anything but the only true Almighty Jehovah God. Such were you. Such were you. Such are you, if you know not God. Why did they come? Why just them? Well, obviously, the others received not the revelation to interpret the sign. That's why. It was just another star. It was just another sign. They move on to the next one. They received no revelation to interpret. But these men said, "We have seen his star in the east." They were drawn to come irresistibly to find the Saviour. And here is a truth of the gospel that must not be neglected. The words of the Saviour himself when he was on this earth, when he was teaching his disciples, when he spoke to the people, what did he say? He said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." And so these wise men were drawn of God. They were drawn of God to search for him. They didn't search because they woke up one day and said, "We want to try and find Jehovah God, the true God." Nobody will do that. Nobody seeks after God. But God drew them. You must think carefully who these men were. They were respected scientists, going after a sign to go and worship a young child. Their reputation was on the line. They were not drawn by anything of man here. They were drawn of God. These truly wise men were drawn out of a land of idol worshippers, like Abraham was. Secondly, we see the obvious thing the wise men had to do was to seek after the Lord Jesus now. The first recorded words of these men, these particular men, in the Bible are, "Where is he?" Oh, they didn't mention the star first. They didn't mention where they had come from, how important they were, their order of the Magi, "We have been sent from the east." Where is he? Where is Jesus? They didn't even know his name, Jesus, but they knew who he was. They knew who he was. "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews?" The Bible is very definite in its language, both with the account of the shepherds going and of the wise men coming from the east. The definite language here. Where is he who has been born? They knew what was revealed to them. They knew it. And it is probable that they would have a record. They would have had a written record, if not a traditional record passed down by word of mouth down the centuries. As indeed for many years the Hebrew scriptures and the scriptures interpreted into the Chaldean tongue, of which would be theirs, passed down, remembered quite easily, put to remembrance. They would have had an audible record of the time of the Saviour to come. I don't doubt for a moment, because of where they came from, because God saw to it, you see. From the time of Daniel, when the people of Judah were taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, and then under his son, and then under the Medes and the Persians, and then the Persians. They came from this area of the world. And during that time of captivity, many visions were given to the prophet Daniel. He received visions of the Saviour's coming, and also the promise given way back through a false prophet. A promise given through a false prophet long before the time of Daniel spoke of a Saviour coming. Daniel's book that bears his name, the book that bears Daniel's name, much of that book, not all of it, some of it was translated, was given by inspiration of God in the Hebrew tongue, but some of it was given in the Chaldean tongue. Chaldean tongue, or what's known as Aramaic or Syriac, the tongue of these men. But we see a mysterious prophecy given through a false prophet who was sent to pronounce evil upon the people of Israel. But God, who works in his own mysterious way, turned it out for good. And we see an amazing statement here in Numbers 24. We read of Balaam. So he took up his oracle and said, "The utterance of Balaam the son of Beor, and the utterance of the man whose eyes are opened, the utterance of him who hears the words of God and has the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of tumult." I first saw that last year. Wow. Jacob speaks of the people Israel. The people Israel. We have seen his star in the east. It's in that land. It's appeared over that land. We've tracked it to that land. That's why they didn't know exactly the right place to go. They didn't have all the scripture. They didn't have all the promises, all the prophecies. But what they did have was that. And I believe that they no doubt would have had an oral traditional tradition passed down through the centuries through that message that was given through Balaam. For Balaam went back to his own country, we read. And his own country was that area of the world where these wise men came. How great is Almighty God. How he sees through everything. confirms his will and purpose in sending his Son, the Saviour, through his written word, the Bible, the Scriptures. The Scriptures, which we are told are able to make you wise unto salvation. And these men were wise now. Truly wise. But you can't seek after anything or anyone you don't believe in. It just doesn't make sense. You don't seek after anything or anyone you don't believe in. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And these men were truly wise because they were made wise to believe. And they obviously believed because they said, "Has been born King of the Jews." They doubted not for a moment. Everyone who truly is brought to believe on this Saviour is compelled to seek after his salvation. They can't do any other. They cannot do anything else. They will not do anything else. Thy people shall be made willing in the day of thy power. And just think of the miles they travelled to find Jesus. People talk about the miles, and rightly so, of the journey from Nazareth in Galilee down to Bethlehem in Judea. But comparatively, it was but a short journey. These men came on a message from a star. They came from the east and they travelled many miles. It may well have taken them a couple of years. Maybe you have heard the gospel for many years. Maybe you have heard the gospel a couple of years. The time of your coming to the Saviour has been ordained by God, and that time alone. But yet, maybe you have been brought, and you have been brought to this point now to meet with the Saviour. Because the time is up now to find him. You've had a kind of belief for some time, but you just haven't stepped over that line. You just haven't gone beyond that. Maybe this is your time of joy, as with the wise men. When they found the house where the young child was. Maybe God is bringing you to that point where you find now where Jesus is. The miles they travelled to find Jesus. The one God reveals his Son in them. The one who God reveals his Son in them shines in their heart. They are brought to be never satisfied until they know the forgiveness of sins in Christ, until they find this Lord. Seek and you will find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. For what joy was theirs? What joy was there, the wise men's? What joy was theirs when they were where Jesus was? I tell you, they were like little children. Thirdly, we see how they acknowledged him. And here in the account of the wise men coming and finding Jesus at Bethlehem, we see the only way, yes, the only way to come to the Saviour. The only way to come to the Saviour. Everything else must be left outside, to one side. The only way to come to the Saviour. Humbly offering nothing and with reverence. Please note the deliberate account the apostle, under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, the deliberate way he words this. They did not open their treasures. No. Their treasures stayed where they were. They presented nothing to Jesus. They came before Jesus and prostrated themselves before the King. For we read, first and foremost, they came with humility, humbly, offering nothing in their hand. Simple reverence before Almighty God. For what did they do? They fell down and worshipped Him. You will never receive salvation if you bring anything that you think that you can offer to God. You will never receive salvation if you think that you can do something to receive salvation. But this is the one thing missing from so-called testimonies of salvation today. No mention of conviction of sin or a humble repentance before God Almighty. To come to the Saviour, you must come to yourself first. These were elderly men, perhaps. Middle-aged to elderly men. They weren't whippersnappers. They were wise men. They were men used to being praised by others. They fell down on their faces before this one, this young child. And this is the only way. You must come to yourself, meaning to know your own sin. And then you must come to truly know who Jesus is, the Holy One. He's not just Jesus. This is Almighty God. And He must be received so. Not all will acknowledge, you see. Not all will acknowledge this one born at Bethlehem. Not all did. Why? Because they have their own way. That is not God's way. They think they are wise in what they do. They think, we've done it this way, as in the Pilgrim's Progress, where one of the characters that Pilgrim meets says, my family have always done it this way. The shortcut. But there are no shortcuts to salvation. There are others who think they just know better. They're far too wise. They're far too clever. They pretend to be clever. But deep in the recesses of their hearts, they are fighting constantly with conscience. Saying, no God. Not all will acknowledge this one, because God has brought to nothing the wisdom of this world, and it is impossible that through wisdom anyone should come to know God. No matter how many wonders of creation on earth or in space above people observe, they won't praise God unless God reveals His Son, who is the wisdom of God. But these men did. They were privileged men indeed. What about you? What about you? Have you been brought to come to this Saviour? Have you been compelled, drawn to this Saviour? Have you known that? If you can truly say that this is you, just ponder for a moment. What a privilege that out of all those people, not to mention those you don't know, out of all those people that have come across your path and you've come across theirs in your life so far, out of all those people you know, either friends, family, neighbours and colleagues, even your enemies, out of all of those, God revealed His Son to you. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, says the Saviour. If you be relying upon any act of religious belief or works to be right with God, please listen. If you are relying upon anything that you do, or you think you can do, you are doing nothing more than saying that you are the one that is taking the giant leap forward. The giant leap for a man. We could do it ourselves. The wise men left their gifts to one side and worshipped the Saviour. You must leave everything to one side. Everything. Anything you think is bad, anything you think is good. Everything. And you must humbly call upon this Saviour. Finally, I ask the question to everyone, what have you really come here today to do? I won't embarrass anyone, but it's interesting that this was said to me today, why someone desperately wanted to come to me. Amazing, the sovereignty of God in all things here. What have you really come here to do? To offer your works of filthy righteousness to God? To present all your good things that you think God is pleased with? Do you notice there were other treasures here, by the way, that these men brought? When they had opened their treasures, they offered gold, frankincense and myrrh. For they were the only ones that God was interested in. Gold for the king, to acknowledge who he truly is. Frankincense for worship. Worship of Almighty God. Frankincense and myrrh. That looked forward to that saving work on Calvary's cross, where he was made a sweet smelling savour to God. The myrrh of his pain on the cross. Myrrh, the burial spice for the one who would gloriously be resurrected from the dead. God is not interested in anything you bring to him. For these things were given of him, these gifts. And so, have you come here to offer your works of filthy righteousness to God? Or have you come here simply to worship the King? For this is the only worship that God receives. It is the worship that He requires, that they worship in spirit and in truth. Have you been made wise to worship the one true God? To know Him and Jesus Christ whom He has sent? For this is eternal life. Then you have true wisdom from above, if this is you. Heed the word of God. Heed the word of God. Heed what the word says, not what the world says. Heed what the word says about Jesus coming into the world. For the scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to turn to that hymn of praise, that carol number 227. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold Him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Let's stand to sing.
O come, O ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold Him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. God of God, light of light, lo, He abhors not the Virgin's womb. Very God, begotten, not created. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet Thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to Thee be glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing, Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.